Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. I have finally made your wishes come true. She's been here, but you guys, every time I'm like, who do you want to see on the podcast? Hey. So she is finally here. Aww. And she is a multi-award winning singer, songwriter, producer, ne?
Yes, ma.
Producer, presenter,
yes.
Entrepreneur,
yes.
Festival hoster, what else?
And many more.
And she's a dear friend of mine.
Oh,
welcome.
We're matching our nails. We're both red.
I'm on my red Zoom.
Right?
Apparently red this year stands for we standing on business.
Maybe that's why, because I'd never done red, but this year I was like, I want to
do red. Yeah.
We're standing.
When you like yellows and pastels.
Exactly.
Do people know that I did your nails for like the longest time?
For a good time when I arrived in Johannesburg. You were the person doing my nails.
Yeah, and I had stolen you from someone you were loyal to.
They'll be fine.
but you were just like, no, you know, you just believe in this little girl. And I know it wasn't good, but you held
up. No,
in the beginning.
Wait, why do you mean it wasn't good? I was fine.
Were you happy?
What do you mean I was happy?
In the beginning.
I would have made an excuse and said, oh, ma, I was in Cape Town and I had to do these. I'm so sorry. I never made excuses. Okay. I was loyal because you knew your stuff. That's why you were able to mentor so many ladies to become even greater. So
my current nail lady, she used to work for me.
You see?
Yeah. But now she's got her own business. Anyway, this is not about me. Let's get into the icebreakers.
Okay.
If you could be a movie... Oh, if you could be in a movie or a character on a television show, who would you be?
A person or a type of character?
A person.
Ha.
Play that character, yeah.
Can it be a guy?
Yes.
Ha, let's see. I would... This is going to be very controversial.
We are stressed and we just started.
No, I'm stressing myself because I'm trying to say this and say it well. Look, here's the thing.
Okay.
Before I say.
Okay.
In my past life,
uh-huh.
We don't believe in that.
Okay.
But I'm just saying that
yes.
We want to be mischievous.
Yeah.
In my past life, I believe I planned great heists.
Okay.
So,
but I know your cause, so I believe you.
Wow, okay. Expose me.
Continue.
In my head, I'm such a good planner.
Okay.
I don't have to execute, but to plan it.
Yeah.
Listen, it's bulletproof.
Okay.
Like every time I'm like, there's a loophole there. But I'm like, anyway, mind my own business.
Who's
you know?
Who's the person?
So I would definitely be the professor.
Who's the professor?
From Money Heist.
I don't watch movies and stuff.
But then you asked the question.
But I thought you were going to be... I'm thinking you're going to say I would be like...
Esther.
Who's Esther?
From the Bible.
No, not Esther. But like Viola Davis What's that series she just did?
Oh, yeah. She just did the How to Get Away.
How to Get Away with Murder. That's what I'm
thinking. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But that's not too far because she knows how to plan how for you to get away from
actually,
something. It's
actually.
Not too far.
Okay. What's something people don't know about you?
I actually am a super, super, super socially awkward person. I'm terrified of people.
Really?
I love people, but if I can be away from them, I'm better. But I love
I get
them.
That.
Yeah.
I get that.
I don't know if I'm scared of conversation or I'm scared of boring
but
them.
But you're good at conversation.
Am I?
You are. And also, like, you're very loving and you get in, you hug. Oh, is that why your hugs are extra long?
so that you can leave me now. Definitely love people. But being
scared
around them scares me.
But you're not scared of being on stage.
Even on stage, if I'm talking, I'm talking about God. But if I have to talk about anything else outside, I don't
It's not happening.
I can't do that. I can't do the hellos. I can't do the thank yous.
Okay.
No.
It's just God.
It scares me.
When was the last time you cried? And what you cried? And what did you do after crying?
About myself or about something that I watched or something that I saw?
I don't know. When was the last time you cried? Let's start there. When was the last time you cried?
This morning.
How cool.
That's why I'm laughing.
Okay.
I saw a video. It was just so cute. It was just a child.
Oh, okay.
But I was just like, aw.
Okay.
And then afterwards, I just quickly scrolled.
On Instagram. So you didn't eat like a packet of chips or anything like that?
That I do when it's about
like
me.
Like deep.
I then junk food is coming in. Babes.
I know, but I am trying to Because now, yeah, because junk food doesn't make me feel good anymore.
Yes.
You know, because I went through like a, took it out of my system and then I tried to bring it back and then I bloat. I would literally look like crazy, like 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I have to find a replacement where even when I substitute, like when I'm like sad and I do this thing, like I don't feel terrible afterwards. So,
I get you. So what do you do?
What do I do? I take a walk.
Okay.
I walk. I love walking.
Yes, I love walking too.
It makes me so happy.
Unfortunately, we don't live in the best city to take walks randomly, but I love walking too.
I mean, I have quite a nice neighborhood. Like, there's a lot of old people who'd like to do their walk, so I'm fortunate with
you
that.
You walk with them.
I walk with the old people. There's actually these two old gogos, because I walk at around 6 in the morning. There's two old gogos. I'm like, goga, like, they wear their sunglasses. And like, no, like, serious, like, Chanel sunglasses.
Okay, mamas.
And every day they walk and they are in deep conversation. Yeah. And every time I look at them, I'm like, what are they talking about every single day? But it's like the most beautiful thing to watch.
So when I was 6,
yeah. I was looking, the last time we had a conversation was about 4 years ago. And you were about to do your recording, ne?
Yeah.
So
Sure, that was a while ago.
It was long ago. That's when we had our conversation on podcast.
Yeah.
So what's been happening? Catch us up.
Since then. Since it's so funny enough, 2 days ago someone reminded me of our graphics on that recording, Your Kingdom on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The graphics on You Are saying, so what they are, at the beginning it's just a blank black background.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way in. Gandhi, as it's going in, it's actually creating a cross.
Sure. Yes, I remember.
And then it says the different names. And it says, who came up with this and stuff? And it's like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, that's la lang. We actually slept on the kitchen counter backstage trying to figure out how to make this happen because... Look, we respect what we do. And I know you'd understand that because you know, I've seen your work ethic. Because we want people to see it.
It means something.
It immediately means something to them. That's what the song is about. It must mean that in every way possible. So I was thinking about it. The way I've committed my whole entire being to what I do. That's what's been happening for the past few years.
Sure. Everything.
Every day, everything has just been you, this. And I realized this morning, in fact, from a conversation that we just had, that I'd neglected even things that I want because this means so much more to me, you know, to make sure that this happens right and this happens well. So I've just been trying to prioritize that. Yes, starting a line. Yes, going abroad. Yes, being signed to a label. Yes, doing writing sessions. Yes, all those things come from me saying, I want to put this first.
That's all that matters.
So maybe I'll get to a point, maybe this year, I'm going to try and see what it's like to actually put my dreams and actually see how it goes. But that's what I'm going to be focusing on this year. But yeah.
Do you feel like you still know who you are outside of ministry? And I don't want to use the word ministry because I feel like you still know who you are outside of that? Because I know I've had to teach myself to rest and actually rest and not feel like, I'm failing everyone, I'm failing everything. And it's like my identity can easily become so attached to everything that I do. Yeah. But do you feel like you still know who you are? You still have identity outside of your serving?
Definitely not. Ooh. I was telling someone else that my whole being has been about this so much, Witty. Even a dream car that I had that I could have. I don't have a dream car. I don't have a dream house. I don't have I just know that I want to be able to take care of my kid. That's all.
Yeah.
Then I go back to focusing on this and go, you know, so I don't really know. I don't even know if I want to, if I am wife material. I don't even know if I am I know I am a mother.
Yeah.
Because I know that has been
that has always been in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I don't know anything that I desire that sure. I can ask God for. I just know that this must happen, and then the next morning He says this must happen. I say, all right, cool. And this must, all right, cool. Mm. And no, I don't know.
Do you feel like that is? This is so interesting. This is so interesting because yeah. I think a lot of women find themselves in this situation, not necessarily relating to ministry or the way you're yeah. doing it, but sometimes getting lost career. In motherhood, mm. getting lost in wifing, getting mm. lost in everything else but finding themselves. Do you think that's God's will for us?
No, no and yes.
Okay.
No.
Start with yes.
Yes. Yes, if it is according to His voice. If He says, okay. do that,
okay.
and you do it, and you do that, and you do it. But I don't like also if we allow that to be an excuse for us to neglect things that should not be neglected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by saying, maybe this year I'm going to try and see
yeah.
on this side what must happen.
Yeah.
And no, because I've also gotten to a point where I wife so much, I neglected even God. Mm. I neglected everything. Nothing else mattered. I had to focus on this so much.
This is what I'm doing.
This is what I'm doing. I only noticed afterwards that, shoot, I didn't know this existed.
Yeah.
You know, because everything of mine existed around a man.
Yeah.
And so, no, in that regard. So there's a level of balance.
The scripture, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you? And I'm going to ask you this because for me, the truth part of it, the spirit part of it contains like the word, who He is, what He says, right? Mm. And then the truth part of it is about me. This is how I relate to the scripture. The truth part of it is God, yes, this is what your word says, but these are my emotions. Or yes, God, this is your will, but this is what I like, you know? And the reason I look at it that way is that I never want to have a pretense or a false relationship with God where I start resenting God, which I've done before, start resenting God because I'm just like, I'm just doing all these things. Yeah. And what about me? So how do you look at that scripture?
In spirit and in truth, spirit is a being to us.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit is who we are before this.
The flesh.
Yeah. Spirit is who this covers.
Yeah.
So spirit is the uncontaminated one. Spirit is the one that is not influenced by the world, is not influenced by emotions, is not influenced by heartbreak, is not influenced by situations. It just is according to what God says.
Yeah.
So the purest one of tap into that when you come to me.
Yeah.
When you want to speak to me, speak to me from that and you'll hear me better.
Sure.
Speak to me from that person.
Yeah.
The inner person.
Yeah.
And you will hear me better. But should it be that you find yourself in a carnal place where you are feeling still worship me.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Okay.
That's the true feeling of what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
That I'm feeling not so great.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling that this is my reality.
Yeah.
Still
worship me with everything.
Worship me in out of season. Worship me in truth. And also another thing about truth is worshiping in understanding who God is, where you are.
Ah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think we try to, and there's a thing we like saying that, Guti, I'm okay, out of context, but there's a thing we like saying, I'm a result of this one's prayer, prayer. Yeah, yeah. And I feel like we take off responsibility of our own relationship with God because we're delaying. I know I got saved at like 13 and people were like, but you still need to love and things like that. And I get that. But like what you're saying right now is that wherever you are is where He needs you to be. Mm. Like there's no 10 steps to get to salvation sort of situation.
There's no book.
Yeah.
Where you are, if you are finding yourself at a place of not having a cent to your name.
Yeah.
Worship from the truth of knowing that He's the God of more than enough.
Yeah.
He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He, silver and gold belongs to Him. Worship Him from
that
revelation
of
where
you
are. Where are you?
Yeah.
Okay, find where He is. Where is He in that? Mm. In the wilderness, what is He? Where is He? What is He in that? In the valley of the shadow of death, what is He in
what
that?
What does that mean? Yeah.
You know, what is He exactly? Because the beautiful thing about being born again and about God, rather, is that he's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of knowing what where he is and where you are. Yeah. What is he there?
Tap it.
Because God is everything.
He's in everything.
Where you are there, in sickness, what is he there? He's a healer.
Yeah.
Where you are there in lack, what is he there? He's a provider. So worship him from knowing, Father, I come to you as my provider. And I'm saying that you are still holy and you are still worthy to be praised, and recognizing who he is there.
In that moment.
I'll talk till I stop. Let me be quiet.
Huh? No. There's a, my favorite question to ask you is what was, every time I'd listen to your new music, I'll send you a text and I'll be like, what was happening when you wrote this song? I remember this one specific moment. Which, I can't remember which song I was listening to, but I was on my way to gym, and it was early in the morning, and I think I was weeping, and I'm like, girl, what was happening? What was happening when you wrote the song? Because the only way it can touch me so much is because something was happening with you.
Yeah.
So with Behold, it's Behold the Lamb that you did with Jesus collection, right?
Behold the Beauty,
Behold the Beauty, sorry. Yeah. What was happening?
Sure. Firstly, we were at a writing camp.
Okay.
And I'd had a song that I was going to write for them. And I was like, this is the song. Then that night, I remember I was with Kaya.
Yeah.
And then I said, good night, Shap Shap. That night, the place that we were sleeping at had a little fireplace.
Mm.
So I'm sitting in front of the fireplace and I'm watching the TV and I'm just writing something else.
Like random.
Random something else. And then God says, if I were in front of you right now, and literally just rocked up in front of you and nothing else shone except me. I was the only image. Everything else is blank and black. It doesn't exist. I was just in front of you. It was just you and I. What would happen? I freaked out. I was like, is that going to happen? Don't make it happen, please. I'm not ready.
Give me some time.
No, it can happen. So if it does happen, what will you do? I was like, please wait. Don't make it happen.
Sure.
I would freak out. And then I realized, phew. That'll be the most beautiful thing, although it's the most scariest thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then I prayed and I freaked out and I went through 16 stages of how am I? And then I went to sleep. In my sleep, did I sleep? Because then it came to me
like,
if I could find myself alone.
Mm.
In a place where the God of all gods sits on the throne and he looks at me and I look at him. And all that surrounds him is holy, holy. A song from heaven.
Yeah.
Like, what would I do?
Yeah.
What does glorify him mean? Oof. There's certain words that we've said so many times.
Yeah.
But we don't really realize, but it still is very profound.
Yeah.
If we say he's holy.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I know you've said it and we've said it in the song. So if we say he's worthy.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, whether or not I say he's worthy or holy doesn't change that. You know what I mean? So when we say he's worthy, what do we mean?
Mm.
Like, did he achieve something and then it became his accolade?
Mm.
Or is he just is? Like, who did he impress to get worthiness? You know, like, who did he speak to prove, after this,
give me.
You know? Like, what is it? And then I realized that there is nothing that there's no one he reports to. There's no one that is higher than him.
Yeah.
His holiness and his worthiness are from him being the source of it.
Sure.
All worth comes from him.
From him.
All holiness comes from him.
Yeah.
So if I say he's worthy, I'm seeing myself in him and seeing that he's made me worthy, and it comes from a source that I'm just like, how? I don't know.
Why
how
me?
Do you make me worthy?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why me? I can see, because there's a part towards the end and you say quite a lot there, but I think you can't deny spirit.
Yeah.
You can't deny spirit. And like, when I'm like, because I sat there and I watched it again this morning, because I just wanted to understand the emotion behind you. And I'm like, I'm seeing this person realize, I think there was like 20 people or more, and it was as if nobody else is in the room.
I don't remember them.
Like, you were as if it was just you and God, and you've forgotten everything that has ever happened in your life, and only that matter, that moment mattered.
And because we were told that the highest praise is hallelujah.
Yeah.
When we started going into hallelujah, sure, that whole trauma from the bedroom came back.
Yeah.
And all of it came back with, he could come in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could rock up,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
May he find me at my posture.
Yeah.
May he find me
giving my
the right song.
Yeah, giving my all. Yeah.
You know, maybe find my heart empty and full at the same time. May he find the perfect moment for him to just show up and be God.
Mm.
And if that happens, that hallelujah and that fireplace that was sitting in front, yeah, of it was funny. It became like a consuming fire, like, sure, it started swallowing everything around me. And I was just like,
God, if you were with God, willing and better.
Yo, that's his Coco. If you show up right now, you're going to freak me out. Please don't do
that. Don't play like that. Don't play
don't
like that.
Me.
What's the hardest song that you have to sing, that you sing all the time, and why is it hard?
Oh, Tunzi Wan was a hard song. Everything.
Tunzi Wan?
Yeah.
Really?
Everything.
That's like our favorite song. It's, and I've told you this, my friend and I in varsity, we used to sing, and then we used to sing along with your runs. Like, we just, don't hate it, girl.
Listen.
Okay.
Tunzi Wan, everything. Uh-huh. You know when you write a song, you're like, oh, this would be fun.
Which one's everything? Hum it, cook it, quickly.
You're all I ever wanted.
Oh, yes.
You're all I... When you think of it, it's fine and it's cool when you're writing it and you're arranging it.
Very cute.
Come here, I must lead this. No! You know, like, can I change it?
Yeah.
Because now I have to overthink.
Yeah.
It's not just major chords. It's not just a 1-4-5. It's random going there. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
I'm just saying, on the other side of Ucula now, Gumnand. But then you have to start singing it, and I'm like, ha.
Exactly.
Let's not make sure.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I.
Okay.
Those, I always regret it after I write a song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is with your songwriting, in as much as it's very complex, because I think of your background in music, there's a simplicity in your melodies that everybody can relate to.
I hope so.
There really is.
I don't know.
You're penetrating global markets now. What is it? What challenges are you experiencing?
Mm.
And how does it test? How has it tested your faith and your character?
The biggest one that I was freaked out about,
mm-hmm,
was how do I bridge without neglecting the other?
Mm.
You know, I'm fully South African and over and above Zulu.
Yeah.
You know, so how do I bridge to become fully American? Because I can't be the Bizwangan, the pity project.
Okay.
Oh, she's from Africa.
Oh.
Shame. She's going to sing Helele Mama.
Yes.
So I'm trying not to be that.
Like, I'm not Helele Mama.
Exactly, not Helele Mama. So I said to them, if I get there,
yeah,
I need to be as American as I can be, so that I don't, so that I'm not pocketed into a different category.
The African one. Yeah.
I want to be fully African.
Yeah.
Fully American, as well as fully South African.
Yeah.
So I don't know, how do we do that? And that's been the biggest challenge. But the funny thing is how much they're receiving me, like I lived in the Bronx. Like,
sure,
I lived back, like
that side, yeah.
And here they still love me also.
Yeah.
So it's an emotionally beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But I hope also that it transcends well here.
Yeah.
When I actually have to produce
a
product for them. So we took out our first EP and I didn't want to know how it did. I took it out. I closed my phone for a week. I said, I don't want to know who likes it, who doesn't like it. I don't care. Cause what's going to, it's a project right now.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out, how do we get the middle? How do we find the middle?
The middle ground. Yeah.
So that's the one that people must pray for me about.
Okay. But why did you decide to want to penetrate that side? Like, why not be content with Africa? Because I think you have a foot in the rest of Africa. Mm. Why not stay there? Like, why the need to? Because they've got singers that side who can do what you do.
And better.
Mm. So why the need to put yourself out there like that?
And I am a child of AFM, fully Five Mission.
Mm-hmm.
but that's not what I represent.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know how it happened. I've been fully contemporary since get-go. And I make two and get in then I'll share.
Yeah, we'll share, man.
But there are people who also do that better.
Yeah.
And not because I'm trying to not compete with them. This is what I do. And this is what I do well.
What but feels now, like home to you?
This is.
Yeah.
Which is not entirely South African.
Mm.
And when Motown actually approached me, they said, Uguti, our thing is what you're doing there fits here more.
Sure.
So we want to see how we can put it here and make you comfortable here. Yeah. So I asked them, be honest with me. Do you think that when I get that side, I will fit in and not embarrass myself and you? They said, definitely.
Sure.
I thought they were being nice. And then we went down in October.
That's actually, last year.
Yes, initially when I was supposed to come here. We went down there. Is it down there, up there?
Up there.
We went there. We went there. When I got there, I had so many events that I was going to be singing at. And in all of them, it felt very comfortable. It felt like home, even for them.
Yeah.
In some songs, in some places, I'd be asked to come in the middle of a song that someone else is busy with, who is fully, like they're being Pentecostal and they're like...
their whole lives, like, and then I'm like,
that's your one. And somehow there was no, she knows how to do.
It was just...
Then afterwards they hear she's South African and then they were like, is it?
Yeah.
Also because many times when I speak to people, I switch to Zulu.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, bro, I need you to figure out what I'm trying to say.
That's just how I talk.
Like, I think most of them left knowing Aibo.
Zulu. But there's something interesting that you just said, and I think it will answer a lot of people's questions. Because I think I believe in trying out stuff, and not everything is going to work out. Mm. But when to know to stick it through is when it feels like home.
Yeah.
No matter how uncomfortable, because I can imagine the discomfort
the
you are in. Yeah. Like, are you saying the correctly or it's that? Like,
surely. All those things. Actually, Tasha said that to me. She said, when I told her that I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
She said, we also have different types of...
But it matters in songs. Really? It really matters in songs how you say... Like,
but mine's going to be very different. No. I say what she mentioned an example about her song. I think it was Praise On It. I think Praise On It.
Yeah.
That in another city they said it differently than another city they said it differently. We all say it differently in our own country.
Yeah.
So don't even feel like no one will even know that. I was like, for real?
Yeah.
Like, for real. Just go there. Do you?
Yeah.
Maybe just don't speak Zulu. Then they won't know that you're Zulu.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just minister. Funny enough, her music saved my life. Aww. Like, there's so many moments where I can, like when I left school and I went home for the first time, I played the song immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the song I kept on playing. And then in varsity, when I was in a dark time, I kept playing Grace. And that's how I got the tattoo Grace, because of that song of hers, that is Grace. So anyway,
that's
good to know what we are. Maz, who's a song? Umgani, okay, what's
up? What's up?
What's up?
And she cooks good.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay, she had to throw it in there. Tasha calls a pig and a shake, just so you know. A lot of things have changed and evolved and have been accepted in Christianity. Mm. But I think the shame of divorce, not so much. Mm. And you went through a very silent, divorce. And I think it was at the height of your career, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
How was that period of your life?
I think it's from where it started that told me that this will be the precedence of it. First of all, I'm a very private person.
Yeah.
No one will ever
extremely
know
private. Yeah.
The business that people have about me is my music, and I'll give that to them 60 years. Mm. 60 times I'll give you music. Ah, no problem. But when it comes to anything outside of that, I'll never give it to people. for one reason. Not because it's not their business, that too probably, but for one reason. God called me to people for what I carry, not for what I am. So if ever I present something to them that God did not say I must present to them, now they look at that. And if ever I falter or flaw in that, that will disappoint whoever is watching that part of me.
Yeah.
So if at any point I was flaunting my marriage, because it's the case in hand, flaunting my marriage, that my marriage is perfect. God did not tell me that I must go and be someone's wife in front of people. God said, what I want you to be is an artist in front of people and a mouthpiece for my heart.
That's it.
That's it.
Outside, for you.
For exactly.
Yeah.
Outside of that, you do not show people other things. Because if you start being, if you sin in any of that, you're going to disappoint someone much bigger than you think.
Sure.
Your business with people is to be my mouthpiece.
Sure.
So I'll never ever show anyone anything else out of respect to them.
Not even about you, but respect to them.
Yeah. Because what you should know about me is how to follow God. And that's all I can give you. So sure. That's why I never made it there.
Anyone's business,
there. Even when I got married, it wasn't, you know, and vice versa. When someone says,
oh, so shatil. You know?
Mom said, like, you're too little. Funny enough, earlier when you said, I was actually going to bring it up then, when I was planning my recording is actually when this started.
Yeah.
And the recording came, Jay, I was homeless.
Sure.
And I was, yeah, it was a whole lot of things. So, however, during that time where I'm starting my career and God is telling me, I understand that you're facing this right now, but I need you to focus on this.
Ooh, Lord, how?
Do you get what I'm saying? And that told me the precedence of everything that's going to happen throughout the whole process. Focus on me. Focus on me. I understand, but focus on me. And if I didn't have my career to hold on to, I probably fall apart is an understatement. I probably would have it would have been a terrible situation. But because of that, unfortunately for Umzalwan, on paper, on earth, you can sign.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, it's been great.
Yeah, sharp.
And sign.
Yeah.
And then you're off.
Yeah.
After court, you're like,
bye. Yeah.
But as Umzalwane, this still feels like I still need to do something because I didn't just make this in front of court and people. I also did make this decision before God.
Before God, yeah.
And for years, that was my struggle. For years. Also, because like I said earlier, that my commitment to my husband was so
extreme.
So extreme. Yeah. I even neglected my relationship with God. Extremely. I noticed it after I'd left. It was, oh, shoot. And I know it wasn't nice, but part of me thanks God that I got kicked out.
Yeah.
Because then I got to see that I lost the biggest part of me and I had the opportunity to rework on it.
Yeah.
And so for years I didn't know how to do that. No one teaches you that. It's not written in any book. How do you repent to Nkulunkulu? How do you ask for forgiveness? How do you let God know that this has happened? I did not know how to know that he's accepted it and that he's okay with it. Last year.
Last year,
I joined my new church and I was loving it and I was enjoying it. And then one Sunday, it was a very weird day. One Sunday, God said, the next 7 days, I want you to fast like you've never fasted before. And like fast.
Yeah.
And I went into a deep fast. And every time I went into prayer during that week, God was saying, I want you to ask for forgiveness. I'd be asking for forgiveness in prayer. I'm like, Father, forgive me. I'm like, what did I do? Forgive me. And on the Sunday morning, that was my last one. And I'm like, okay, I'm breaking after church from whatever this was.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He said. So you're not sure what's.
I 2 a.m.
You're just in jail. Uyalamba.
Yeah, Uyaxolisa.
Exactly. For 7 days.
Lamba noxolisa, lamba noxolisa. Phela.
Hunger and apology.
Phela.
Yeah.
On the Sunday morning, oh, Koti. On the...
Koti, that's all.
On the Sunday morning. Funny, this is actually where this it is, came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, yeah.
On the Sunday morning, I wake up and I'm going to church and I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going to church. He says, today I want you to give your life to Christ.
I'm a minister.
I've been born again for about almost 15 years.
Never mind that. You've been leading other people to give their lives to God. You know, what do you mean, ma'am?
What do you mean?
We're going to be confused.
Kanjani.
Oof.
Kanjani. I'll sing it on Zwang. I'm getting concerned. The worship was not like banging and like super amazing.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, but it wasn't even, it was after the word.
Mm.
After the word, they go back into worship again and it's just bad. Mm. And but Jacob, the hearts are pure at church.
Bless the Lord.
We are worshiping. And he says, I said, go and give your as your good God. I wept.
I can imagine.
I wept as I walked. And as I walked, the pastor says, if you want to give your life to Christ, I'm already on
you. I'm coming anyway.
I get there, I lie on the ground.
Sure.
And I asked for forgiveness myself. He didn't ask me. I asked to be forgiven.
Mm.
I said, Father, make me pure.
Mm.
I will never, ever, ever choose anything else ever again over you. I promise
you. Sure.
It is you and I for the rest of my life. Take away anything that is still coming.
In between us.
That wants to come between us ever. And I don't know how long I was there, but I know that praise and worship after then usually takes like 15 minutes. Me, I was there until like a man says, hi. Hi. Hello, baby. How are you? But that day, I remember the day I got born again.
Yeah.
But this day, it was the most special day of my life.
What do you think is a, what about it? And I want you to explain it because I don't want anyone to feel like it takes 7 days for God to forgive you, right?
Mm.
But what is it about your personal journey where you felt like, I mean, it's years after you've gotten out of your marriage.
Mm.
And then it's like you have to go, why? Like, what is it about that? Is it a personal encounter for you because of how you've carried the trauma?
Yeah, yeah. I want to stress that. Thank you for saying that. That this is not a book on how to.
Yeah.
There's no how to get away with murder. Because
it takes 7 days.
Yeah. This was my walk because of how far I had gone and because of how I had made a decision myself and because of how deep I'd made that decision.
Sure.
I needed to actually show my commitment again.
Repent.
Are you
Repent. Repent.
And mina geshem, I live the life of repent. I believe in repentance very, very much. Even as a born again believer, you have to and you can repent.
Yeah.
So it was my story and it is what the Holy Spirit said I should do, which is what I would encourage someone else at home to whatever it is, whether it's divorce or anything, to find a way to open our ears to only the voice of the Holy Spirit and silence every other voice. Because I think that's what I was doing for the 4 years. I was trying to silence every other voice of guilt because I was trying to forgive myself as well, of guilt, of trauma, of hatred, of resentment.
Yeah.
Why did he put me through this? He should have just left me.
Yeah.
Why? All of that, I was trying to silence those voices so that I know, okay, after all of that, what must I do?
Hmm.
How do I actually present myself before God? People are fine.
Yeah.
But the God. Person I care the most about
is God.
Is God.
Yeah.
And is he finding me acceptable in his presence?
Did you carry a lot of shame? When you have to go on on stage, when you have to engage with people, like even now, like, do you carry a lot of shame?
No.
Really?
I really don't. I don't carry any shame.
And you didn't carry any shame?
And I didn't carry any shame. Okay. Hurt, resentment, guilt.
Yeah.
And also even learning the difference between guilt and
yeah,
shame.
Yeah, that was my next question. How do you define guilt and how do you define shame?
I felt guilt because of things that I felt like I had taken a part of.
Okay.
To make a situation like this.
Okay.
For him.
Yes.
And for
yes, God. The part you have played.
The parts I played.
That's the guilt.
The guilt. Did okay. I cause this? Did I cause that?
Got you.
And then shame is the... To be honest, there's a lot of shame that can come with this.
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Even on a form.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as me being single. I'm divorced. On a form, sure. I write
for the rest of your life, that is your response. Wow.
You know, there's a very big difference between a single woman and a divorced woman. Huge difference. Even emotionally, there's a huge difference.
Don't move on. I need you to unpack that.
There's a huge difference.
We're going to unpack that.
Because a single woman is a person who is searching for something and knows how they want to get it and knows where they want to get it from. You know, they have...
Yeah.
They have... You know?
This is a cute, innocent, yeah.
And they have a way that they want to get it. For instance, I was pure.
Yeah.
I never had sex before marriage.
Yeah.
I looked to Jesus and I said, this is the man that will come with Ilobole Kai.
Yeah.
And in my head, what the church wanted is exactly what I was. I'm Ilobole Kai.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in all of that, still this happens.
Mm.
Am I a sinner?
Oof.
Am I wrong? Do I deserve to go to hell? You know?
Yeah. Because you did your part.
Because I did what I was told to do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I still very much respect them and I love them. In my head, I did what I was told to do, but I still failed.
Mm.
How is it? Am I a sinner? You know? Anyway. Then we get being divorced.
Mm.
After being divorced, it's a big difference. Firstly, on the spectrum of, okay, what do I do right now?
Mm.
What do I do right? If I have to go into a new relationship, what do I do right now?
Mm.
When I wanted to be a mother, I said, I'll get married and be a mother.
Yeah.
But right now I'm like, I am not trying to get married to be a mother.
Sure.
Because then what if I'm a bad wife, even though I'm a great mother?
Yeah.
So there's a thing of, maybe I should adopt.
Sure.
Maybe I should do IVF.
Yeah.
Maybe I should, you know, you're having a different perspective of it because it's not as simple as
one. It's not as simple as
one.
That. Yeah, actually, now that you've brought up the conversation, how does that conversation play out with you and God? Because you're in your 30s.
Mm.
Biologically, I can imagine the pressure.
Mm.
And maybe you have no interest of being in a relationship right now. But there's the desire of motherhood. How do you navigate that?
And the desire of motherhood has been.
I know it has been. It is the one thing that has been consistent in our conversation.
Yeah, I had the conversation also with a few people. I had it with you. I had it with my sister Ndogozo. I had it with I had it with a lot of people in my life to say, as a born again Christian, how do I become a mother? Without having to wait, because it's not on my side.
Yeah. And I can imagine the loneliness as well.
Yeah, you know, there's that too. But I get Leo.
Praise the Lord.
We'll figure it out.
Praise God. You know? Yeah.
But the loneliness is real.
I can imagine.
Very real. Like there are times where you just want to wake up and you just want a conversation.
Mm.
I plan a lot of things and I work a lot. Sometimes I just want to wake up and say,
morning.
Good morning. Can you take care of that? Because I think I'm going to be late. So can you just go get that and then I'll find you there?
But none of that.
There's none of that. So I have to get up and make it on time to do that and that and that.
You know, this,
and be okay.
This is making me so emotional because when we speak about, I guess, singleness, we're thinking roses. People are thinking, oh, I want to receive roses.
And hugs,
like all the
and
cute
cuddles.
And like the things you just mentioned. Oh. I'm like, geez, I take those things for granted. So to wake up and have a conversation and plan a day with someone.
Yep. And plan a day and have a delegation to say there's two of us that can navigate this day.
Wow.
I don't have to do it alone. There's two of us that can have this conversation about having a child. Mm. Are you ready? Mm. Yes, I'm ready. I'm so excited. You know, there's two of us that can be excited about good news. I don't even get phased about good news.
Yeah.
When good news come, I'm like, oh, that's great. And then I drop the phone and then I carry on with my life. There's no one to say, baby, you won't believe. You know, it's just, okay, it happens. And that hurt me until I realized that this is enough time for me to say, great, 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 move on. So it makes me work harder.
Yeah. How has healing been for you? Are you in therapy or are you praying everything away?
Why are you giving me that face?
I'm asking. You're a woman of God.
I'm praying everything away. But I definitely am in therapy.
In therapy.
Well. Yeah, I'm in therapy. And there was a point where I wanted to do therapy with everyone around me. To be like,
what do you mean?
Do you want to go to therapy with me?
Oh, like,
I feel like we need to are we okay?
Okay. Yeah, you know? I get that.
Yeah, but of course, me, I'm terrified of speaking also.
Yeah.
I am so.
Is therapy awkward for you? I think
very.
I can imagine. Oh. I'm sure. You know what? You remind me of Brendan. You're in a. The word's not avoider, but you laugh when things get serious.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And it's bad.
So we would go to couples. That is literally what you deflect. Deflect is the word.
Yeah.
So we would go to couples therapy and then it couldn't be never serious. And like, I'm in pain. Oh, whatever. No, the therapist was like, no, but now our therapist knew him now. And every time he'd ask him a question and he'd laugh, he would look at him with a straight face and be like, you're deflecting. Did laugh and apologize and think you've been nervous, got Brendan in therapy. But therapy is uncomfortable. But I think what I've learned about therapy is it's not about getting the answers. It's about acquiring the tools to deal with everyday life and learning how to let emotions flow through.
I think it's also just finding out. It's learning about you.
Learning about you, yeah.
And learning that you're not as big as a problem. You just didn't know how to navigate this.
Like, that's it.
Oh!
My therapist is my favorite because it's like that one place where you feel like,
I'm not a bad person.
I'm not that bad.
I'm amazing. Y'all are blessed.
So it's like for me, it was like this one session where it's almost like an exhale, go to how bad. After all this time, you carry so much. And I think it comes with trying to be a responsible person, someone who repents, someone who, you know, and sometimes we take on emotions that we're just supposed to let flow through.
Nah, but the therapy was sort of taboo at some point.
It was, but now we're normalizing it. Yeah.
Why am I
calling
no?
Yeah.
But like you said, now we're normalizing.
Yeah,
it.
My yoke is easy. Take my. How? Yeah, we claim.
Which is true. It's very true.
God, like, I think. One thing I appreciate about Christ, even in the Bible, is how practical he was. Mm. I think we'd be very shocked if we had to experience Christ.
Oof.
And at church, they made an example about when he turned water into wine at the wedding. And the pastor was talking about like the jars, right? And he says, if they convert how many liters each jar was that was filled with wine, and we bring it in today's time, if we're being like, kind, it was about 700 bottles of wine.
Sure, yeah.
So can you imagine this sure. Jesus, I feel like, 700, how would we feel?
Yeah.
We would just be like, what do you mean? You want people to be drunk? But right. Anyway, the whole point is that I think he was very human and he was real and he understood and he had tools for things. And that's why when he needed to cry, he cried. When he needed to fast, he fasted. When he needed, he understood that there's the spiritual, but there's also inyam.
He was tested
in
all forms of life.
So why do we just want to be spiritual?
We do not have a high priest that does not sympathize with us.
Yeah.
But he sympathizes with us.
He sympathized with us. He knows. Felt it. Can I get in your dating life? Not your dating life, but I want to know, how does it feel dating as a Christian woman in your age? What are the expectations? What's fun? What's hard?
What's hard is nyavilapa. Also, there's also a little stigma when you say, I was married before. There's like,
really?
Then what happened? What's wrong with you? Why?
Okay, that's fair though. Don't you think it's fair on the other side?
And it's fine.
Because you would want to ask the same question.
No. I wouldn't ask the same question. And not because Mpuma Khon.
Yeah.
But because...
You've learned your mistake?
No, but because also I think I've always understood, Uguti, sometimes people make decisions that they don't really mean.
Got you.
And there's two people in it. Okay. And no matter how much one can want it, the other might not.
And
or they could just say, bro, what were we doing?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, well,
but so that doesn't that situations come with, change. With wanting to find out the red flags?
I think you want to find them yourself, Uguti.
Okay.
Oh, red flag. Some people see cheating as he's just a man.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh.
It's not just a man.
Yeah. So I think me, I like to find my own red flags.
Okay.
With that, I won't be able to. That I'll be able to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people don't find it to be a big deal
yeah.
that you are dating someone who's not
born
again.
Do you lead with Christianity that I'm Christian?
I do.
Is it?
And I learned to do that.
Okay.
I did get into a situation where I didn't and I thought, no, this will be vibes.
I'm a vibes. And say, no, my vibes.
Ooh, kwa vibe. Hey, kwa pithi. How about waiting, you know?
Where?
I really should have said that from get-go. Yeah. Now it's a, I guess when it's in CON.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes they provoke you and they're like, you can't say anything back.
Yeah.
They're like, you better not say anything back. Otherwise, yeah. you're not born again. And you're like,
sure.
Wow. I'm not trying to have someone test me like that. Yeah. You know? So... I think dating is just hard, but I think mostly uvilap. I think also being post-married.
Yeah, she's like,
yeah, uvilap, but to start over. Hi, I'm way.
What's up with her favorite color?
Yo, so where did you grow up?
Woo. Yeah.
So I'm lazy. That's the hardship that I have.
You have, okay. Yeah. How do you define God?
Ooh.
Simple. Yes, so keep it on my face.
How much time do you have?
I need one. I got 1 minute. How do you define God?
Enough, man. He really he's is enough. Yeah, he's enough.
Sure.
In everything, he's enough.
What do you know for sure about life?
That it's not the end of it. That after life, there's life.
There's life.
And that's the one. That's the one we need to work on. It's not the end of it. That in as much as we should enjoy life, YOLO. But we should definitely, as we are taught to save money for a rainy day, let's also have insurance on our
for
lives.
Your souls. Yeah. Save for your
souls. Yeah.
What about children makes your heart bubble?
Them. Oh.
They are it.
Listen, they're just them. It, man. Yeah. Like they just rock up how they react to things, how they understand things, what they. Okay. I'll say this, and then I don't know why I'm comparing it to the same thing. But anyway, but how they're just pure about it.
Yeah, my purity.
The purity, like their view of things is dependent on what they know right now.
Yeah.
And what they know right now is pure.
Yeah.
They have not faced anything. It's like, oh, may you not see the world.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, stay there.
You know what I mean? Stay
there, yeah.
My first ever best friend was a white Down syndrome boy.
Sure.
And I think actually that's one of the people that made me understand kids.
Wow.
Because Down syndrome people are actually the most amazing people to be around.
Yeah.
They are so compassionate. They are so, they understand feelings much more than us.
Us, yeah.
They understand feelings. They understand that this is not nice.
Yeah.
And they are reflective.
Yeah.
Like if they know they don't like something, they'll understand that you'll probably not like it as well.
Sure.
Like they won't be... I don't like it. You, it's your problem.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, I get it. Yeah.
They get it.
Empathize.
They empathize.
Yeah.
They empathize. They're very sensitive and they're very, they're so, man. They're lenient also.
Yeah.
They're very lenient. Like, they'll be mad now and they'll even cry and throw a tantrum because also they're very deep on feelings.
Yeah.
Whatever they feel 10 times
fully.
More.
Yeah.
So they will be deep on feelings. 10 minutes later, it's like
football
it never happened. Yeah. So when I saw that, because I was like, what, 7? No, 4, 5, because it was preschool, pre-primary. And that was my friend. By the time I got to understanding kids, I was just like, I get you.
Yeah.
Because
you feel fully.
I feel them. So I think them just being them, they understand. If you can have a conversation, try to have a grown conversation with a child. You will enjoy it.
Girl, every day. every day.
Yeah.
And they will challenge. No, but they will challenge you also. I think what my kids have challenged me to do is to be an honest person.
Right.
And not honest because in Ginamanga, but honest because sometimes I'm really not feeling well, but you want to pretend like you are. Mm. And if my kids aren't feeling well, they don't feel well. Yeah. Or like we were at your show and they came and they were excited. It was their first time seeing their dad perform. Like, it was the first time they see their dad perform because I never take them.
Not Nuri singing to your husband's look and like, she's like,
and you know what? Let me tell you something. As soon as daddy was off stage, I said, can we go home now? In my hand, I'm like, no, but this is all support that Ushe. And like, it's a whole thing for me. And we saw our dad. Can we go home now?
And you can't tell them no.
No. And I have such an appreciation for that. Yes, as an adult, you have to like think it's about other people. Mm. But it's also so good to be honest about how you feel.
Yeah. It's how they feel. And if you ever notice that if you disappoint them and saying that's not right, they're like, why isn't it right?
Yeah, it's not right.
But it's what I feel. Like, I trust this. Than that.
Yeah.
That for me is like, what is it? Where's the source of what you're trusting?
Yeah.
Because it's like, there's a superpower about them. And
it's,
I love kids.
It's beautiful.
They're the most profound beings ever.
What makes you smile? Kids.
And I think seeing people happy.
Yeah.
I think the other day I was saying, Yazi, people are nice. People are amazing. People are amazing. Yeah. If you just let them be and you don't hurt them, you don't bother them, you actually enjoy them.
There's some good people out there.
Like, there's some good crazy, people out there. They're fun. They're nice. They're weird. Everything about them is nice. You see a crazy man on the street. You know, we were doing a setup. When we were doing the setup for Thank God, so it's an open field.
Yeah.
So there was this guy that just kept roaming around him, and he was just singing along to whatever was happening on stage.
wasn't
bothering anyone. The girl next to him, he's just here to have a good time. He
just wants to dance.
Sing along. If you just let people be people, even though they're not okay.
Yeah, just let people be people.
You'll see, you'll enjoy life. Yeah. I love it when people are just being.
Yeah. You hold friendships very dear to your heart. Like, you are a true friend. How has friendship saved you?
True. How I approach friendship.
Yes.
Because of the socially awkward person that I am.
Yeah.
I love giving it.
Yeah.
And then not expecting it so that if it happens.
It's like,
you know, just also, I guess it's a protective barrier for me.
Yes.
That, so that I avoid getting hurt. And getting hurt. If you can, you can.
If you can't, go right.
You won't. But me, call me at 12, I'll be there.
Sure.
So I appreciate friendships also because it's important to have people that can tell you, friend.
I can't be that.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, when I don't have parents.
Yeah.
So when you have someone who can tell you, I'm praying with you.
Yeah.
There's something that I saw, or I saw that you did that and that and that. How do you think that represents this? And
sure.
So that's why.
Feels like love.
Before I make a big decision, friends. I go to people.
You've got good friends. And I know your friends reciprocate.
Yeah, I do.
I know you've got
great friends. I always surround myself with great people. And they are great people.
Amazing friends.
You're a great person.
Thank you. Try. You're a loving person.
Aww.
Very loving. The most loving person. Okay. Wall of wisdom. A verse or quote you live by. I give us a quote, man.
You quote, no, man.
You give us a quote.
A quote? I do have one.
Okay.
Do I have one? I'm trying to think because most of them are reminded by situations.
Okay, give us a verse.
To remember situations. A verse?
Yeah, it can be a verse or a quote. It's up to you.
Okay, in a verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways
acknowledge. Yeah.
You know, the reason that, that makes you.
Yeah. That was my scripture this morning when I was walking.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what I spoke the whole walk.
Acknowledge.
Like, trust in the Lord. Yeah.
And even the understanding of through prayer and supplication. Make your request.
Yeah.
That you approach it through prayer and supplication.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's a principle, man, that God has that I just love. He has a principle of your life is easy.
Mm.
Rest in me.
Game.
And yeah.
Yeah. Let go.
Let go.
Let go
of
got
everything
this. Yeah.
And come sit here by me.
And I won't fight you to let go. I'll let you be until you decide.
When you're ready, I'll let go there. And come here and sit in me.
Yeah.
And by me, in me, through me.
Yeah.
Watch.
Okay.
And yeah. And God's yoke is literally easy.
Easy. Yeah. Book or podcast that you recommend?
Well, Wisdom and Wellness.
No, not Wisdom and Wellness. Ngwadi ke, ngwadi. A book.
Wisdom and Wellness. Life of a Prophet.
Life of a Prophet by?
Who? I'll check the author okay. for you. It's a nice purple. I always read it. I'll send it to you. You took my book.
Which one?
But it's fine.
Which one did I take? You don't even remember which one I took.
It was Gabriella's.
Yes. And you know, I only read it so much later. And when I picked it up,
it's such an adult book.
It is an adult. Yeah, when you gave it to me, I was a child. Girl, what are you thinking?
It.
What were you thinking?
You wanted it.
I liked the cover of the book. And then there was a time where I just picked it up and I was oh my gosh, this makes so much sense. Okay, you're going to fill in this line. A wise woman once said.
Oh, it's a wise woman being my mom.
Okay.
A wise woman once said, "Yegela, thank you."
How?
Yegela, thank you. Yegela, thank you.
Okay.
And that for me comes in different forms the more I grow.
Okay.
Yegela,
girl.
Yegela, thank you.
Yeah.
Yegela.
Leave it.
Exactly.
Leave it.
Leave it. Don't fight. Don't be mad. Yegela ukulwa, yegela ukuba nenkane, yegela yegela lomngadi,
yegela phuma, yegela.
Yegela, thank you. Yes, yegela.
I love you so much.
I can't tell you how much I love you and I appreciate you. I really, really appreciate you. And I appreciate what you stand for also. Oh. I really do. It's very important. It's necessary.
You're going to make me cry.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
I was about to tell our joke.
Is it going to embarrass me?
No, it's about the other person from when we were singing with Dr. Doom. It's my favorite. It's my favorite memory in life. Yes. But thank you.
Move away from me.
Eating, something about romantic. So we serve our mics. Thank you so much. You're amazing. And thank you for what you do. All right. And that is today's conversation. She'll be back after 4 years. I'm still doing podcasts.
I come back every 4 years.
Every 4 years. Let's give her time.
Every 4 years.
Girl Pow, excitement is building as we gear up for our annual Unlimited Fest. If you missed out last year, don't make the same mistake again. So join us for 2 unforgettable days packed with inspiring speakers, incredible musicians, DJs, food, and a time and a half. This year is all about healing. Secure your spot now at www.unlimitedfest.co.za. Don't miss the experience of a lifetime. Unlimited Fest, where we heal, celebrate, and grow. See you there.